Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, everybody, to this week's edition of the Fantasy Football Podcast on 92.9 The Game. Still don't have a name. We've kind of given up on the whole trying to figure out a name thing for right now. But I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson. And Bo, I can't believe, man, I like to write the little headline at the top. Week 9 recap, Week 10 preview. We are already getting into Week 10 of the NFL season.
We're Week 10 of the NFL season, and we are three quarters through the fantasy season. Playoffs start in like 3 weeks.
Home stretch,
which is
coming.
Crazy. Like it is that time. We advised you last week, and I think maybe even the week before, that it was time for those teams with a winning record to start looking towards the playoffs and looking at matchups for positions you've been streaming: tight ends, defenses, even quarterbacks. It might still be out there. There's a lot of teams that are playing two quarterbacks this year. I have been on a few teams. And yeah, man, it's that's the thing about football. It's just here and gone, just like that.
Keep an eye on the teams that are desperate, trying to make the playoffs, that are making weird moves, dropping random people. I had a league this past week. I was just telling Bo before we got on, actually on the 92.9, the game league, where someone dropped Nick Chubb. And I was like, I'll take Nick Chubb. We'll talk about him a little bit later on. Also, for those of you who hear this before 4 o'clock today on Dukes and Bell, Nick Chubb will be joining the show to preview Browns Falcons, talk a little dogs there as well. But it's kind of weird. People get desperate in these times, and you have a couple bye weeks coming up with some teams like the – I know you mentioned to me last week, Bo, I believe the Rams are a week 12 bye. Like if someone
Rams
drops
– and Chiefs.
You know, if someone drops like a Robert Woods or something because they're in some weird injury, desperate situations, keep an eye on who's being dropped in your league.
Things like that are going to happen. People are going to start freaking out. This is a good time to not take advantage of, but if you need some bolstering to your bench, go after some players on some teams that are – at 500 or below, 3-5 or 3-whatever, however many wins and losses we have, losing record teams that could still make the playoffs, you might be able to bolster your bench for the upcoming playoff run yourself,
Other players to kind of just take a look at, take a stab at. I mean, if you can get Le'Veon Bell for nothing, God knows what's going to happen with that situation. So, but if you can give up like a low-level wide receiver or something along those lines, or a guy like a plug-and-play running back, like an Alex Collins or somebody that – if you get a Bell or a Fournette, someone that you know can win your league down the stretch, and you have the ability to do it, you're sitting at, whatever it might be, 6-3, 7-2, even some of those who are 5-4, if you're feeling good about your team, go ahead and try to make those moves. Now's the time to kind of throw yourself out there and risk it a little bit.
I would absolutely, if Le'Veon Bell has completely derailed the team who drafted him, and they have a losing record, and especially if they have a losing record but can still mathematically make the playoffs, I'd go for it. I'd send him somebody that plays, any warm body. This might be the last week you get to do that. I can guarantee you Le'Veon Bell signs a tender, whether there's a deal or not, whether they're going to play him. He only has a few days to sign a tender, or he can't play at all this season. And that's instead of giving up $900,000 a week, he's going to be giving up the rest of what that tender is, and I think it's still at like $12 million right now.
And he's got to get it for being credited this year for NFL for the pension plan and insurance as he gets older, that whole type of thing. Yeah. So he's probably going to show up, and what the Steelers do with him, we don't know. But again, he's someone that you should probably, especially if you're the James Conner guy who doesn't have Bell, just to figure out that situation, which I'm that guy in a couple leagues, so I got to figure out how to do that. But taking a look at some of the storylines, themes we had from this past week, it started on Thursday night with a bloodbath there in the Bay between the 49ers and the Oakland Raiders. Everybody had to Google who Nick Mullins was before the game started. He throws for 3 touchdowns against the Raiders, and gosh, man, the Oakland Raiders, the artist formerly known as the Oakland Raiders, it is brutal to watch them play football right now.
It absolutely is. You gotta kind of sit back and question. I guess we won't know until after next year's draft whether what John Gruden is doing will work with the Oakland Raiders. You can tell right now that his ego is what's driving the decisions that are being made for this team. Now, he wants this to be his team. Anybody and everybody that has stepped up and challenged that, i.e. Khalil Mack was the first, he's gotten rid of, and he's done so quickly. Now, has he gotten a lot of compensatory picks?
I know,
yes,
it's a tough one.
He has a crap ton of first-round draft picks for next year, but Gruden's never really been the guy that's drafted well. So we'll see. I think he has 3 first-round picks already with a few pieces that he could still move, like Derek Carr, which don't be surprised if he does that this year or next. We'll see what goes into Oakland or to Las Vegas. They still have another year in Oakland if they're even allowed to play there. I'm not sure if they're going to be, but yeah.
They should just
play
like,
your offenses that are playing the Oakland Raiders. Try to stream defenses that are playing against their offense. They are definitely the worst team in the NFL. I don't even think it's close.
They should be the traveling circus next year. They should just play all their home games at different cities. You know, go play in like Louisville. Go play in San Antonio. Go play in,
maybe submit that idea.
Yeah,
I actually think that's a very good idea.
Yeah, they could just be, and then you could be the country's team again, you know, that whole thing. That's just dawned
that
on
would,
me.
That would do a lot to get them some fandom going into Las Vegas because they've lost a lot, but Raider Nation is nationwide.
It's
and
huge.
It's one of the biggest followings, maybe Pittsburgh Steelers, Dallas Cowboys, in the country. Of fans who will just like a team just because, you know, they're black and silver and people wear skulls. I mean, what's not to like?
We'll throw it out there. We'll make some calls. We'll see what happens. but as far as for fantasy football for the Raiders, I mean, the only guy that you can really play and not even with that much confidence rest of the season is Jared Cook just because the tight end situation is so bad. Yeah, and Bo's making this face at me, but it's like if you have to, I guess, but that's it. You're not starting Carr. You're not starting any of these running backs. I started Rashard because I was desperate in one league at running back, PPR league, and he was just been bleh.
He's mediocre. If going into all these bye weeks that we have right now, 4 more teams on a bye, Broncos, Vikes, Ravens, Texans, Jalen Rashard could be an all right start for you. It's not something that you want to rush out and start with confidence, but if you get in a desperate situation, I would be able to sleep at night on Saturday night waking up with Jalen Rashard in my lineup on Sunday, but I'd probably have one eye open. But yeah, but even Cook has not been good lately.
No.
You know, he had a first good couple of few weeks in the beginning of the season, top 5 tight end. I don't even know if he's in the top 10 anymore. So, yeah, and then Jordy Nelson, who you think is going to be the guy that gets the work with you know, Amari Cooper gone, but it just turns out that they are just flat.
Yeah, avoid the Raiders if you can. Another team on the flip side of things, the Vikings, have they found their form on defense? I know they had the Saints the week before, but they destroyed a pretty competitive Lions team, and maybe not necessarily from like a run defense perspective, but with Everson Griffen back, and I feel like that pass rush is there again. This secondary looks like the secondary we remember from the year before. Is this turning into a unit you want to try to avoid if you can moving forward rest of season?
I think that it is, and that's one of those situations you got to look at. It's one of those situations that this is the reason why you listen to fantasy football podcasts and you look for advice, because we're the nerdy guys who are going to look at the injury charts and the stats and bring all that information to the front for you so that you don't have to waste all your time during your day doing that. That's what turns a lot of people off against fantasy. It's too much work. It's too much work. It's not too much work. It takes maybe 10 minutes a week if all you want to do is set your team. And then take another 40 minutes to listen to a podcast by us genius. We're going to do all this work for you. But yes, with Griffen coming back, I don't care what the stats say about where the Vikings fall as far as a pass defense goes. They are in the top 10, maybe even the top 5 right now. Still got a guy on the outside named Xavier Rhodes. They're going to have teams. He will, with Griffen healthy, he will be able to shut down half the field again without any help over the top.
And the other thing to consider is Dalvin Cook. He looked sharp in limited action over the weekend. He had close to 100 total yards. I think at one point he had 5 carries for 80 yards, so he busted off a long one there. And if they can get the two-man backfield going between him and Murray and kind of establish the run game and control the clock a little bit more, again, that gives opposing offenses less time with the rock against what is now a better defense than it was earlier on in the season. What are the things you got news and notes wise before we jumped into what happened was?
Well, you know, we're halfway through the NFL season. We're 3/4 done with the fantasy season. There are offenses out there that you just wish you had a piece of. And you saw a game like that Saturday afternoon with the Saints Rams, two of the best fantasy offenses in the league, right? Next, and then maybe Kansas City gets thrown in that conversation.
Yeah, those are the 3 right there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I guess the Steelers, but they're kind of 4th on that list, I'd say.
Yeah. But I think those 3 are in a tier, and if you don't have any of these offenses, I mean, I think that these offenses, those 3, are probably going to have at the end of the season, when you go to break down the charts of players that are on the most Super Bowl winning teams, I think Pat Mahomes is probably going to be one. you know, maybe the most player owned on Super Bowl winning teams because of how late you could have gotten Pat Mahomes in drafts.
Oh, you mean fantasy winning teams?
Yes. Yeah. Fantasy winning teams. You know, because Alvin Kamara was that guy last year. The most owned player on teams that won the Super Bowl last year, if I'm not mistaken, was Alvin Kamara. Kind of depends on what lead, you know, who you play with, ESPN, Yahoo, sure, or whatever. But yeah, man, Saints Rams, that was a very fun game to watch. You can expect some more out of this. This might be an NFC Championship preview, but my favorite part of the game, and he's being chastised about it, because the whole celebration thing and the blah, 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 blah was Mike Thomas's homage to Joe Horn with the cell phone hidden under the padding on the goalpost and the celebration after scoring the touchdown. I thought it was great. I thought it was great when Joe Horn did it, although we were on the cusp of, okay, this is starting to get ridiculously cheesy with all the props and whatnot. You know, I didn't know what you thought, how you felt about that. Like, the national media decided to jump all over Mike Thomas and come on.
I loved it. I didn't love the time of the game it was in, given the fact that the Saints had blown a 35-14 lead. They were dominating. They were bullying the Rams in the first half of that game. And then to score with 4 minutes left against one of the best offenses in the league, it's still a 10-point game. So weirder things have happened. Yeah. So I love the celebration.
That could have been a huge penalty.
Exactly. I love the celebration. I thought it was great. The timing of the game and versus that opponent, I wasn't a huge fan of, but the fact that he went out of the way to have a flip phone under each goalpost, buying it from a liquor store, I mean, having that whole thing was great. And the thing that you can't blame some of these wide receivers, some of these guys who want to become stars, even though I love Michael Thomas, he says he's not a diva wide receiver, but that's kind of a move to head in that direction. There are so many people now that are casual fans that know who the hell Mike Thomas is. Yeah. And they probably didn't heading into Sunday. And I can't blame a guy for that at all. He raised his popularity and his awareness level. He'd go, who's that? Like, Breeze has never had a guy like that before. And he's had a phenomenal season so far. Really fun player to watch. And it was a tremendous game. But yeah, didn't love the celebration. Didn't necessarily love the timing of said
and
celebration.
I think that's what Sean Payton's biggest problem with, or was with it too. And that's what he told Mike Thomas on the sideline. Be careful that you do something that does not hurt the team, or don't do anything that's detrimental to the team. But who dat?
All right, well, time to jump into what had happened was. And I'll start off here with my guy Aaron Jones, which we talk about Aaron Jones like every week on here because he's just one of those kind of interesting up and down running backs who has all the capabilities to do big things. He had 14 carries, 76 yards. He chipped in a couple catches there as well. What killed him is he lost a fumble late in that game against the Patriots. Wound up having kind of a subpar game, but I mean, he's a guy I'm still rolling with every week unless I have a better option.
This was a weird week for several running backs that had bad matchups, and it was a weird week for several running backs who had great matchups. So what had happened was I thought Lamar Miller was going to continue his hot streak going up against the Denver Broncos, who were, at the time, the 29th worst rush defense in the NFL. The Denver Broncos cooled off Lamar Miller to the tune of 12 rushes for 21 yards, 2 receptions for 27 yards. If you started Lamar Miller with confidence because I said he was going to be on fire, my apologies, but what had happened was...
That is the Lamar Miller I know, Bo. The one that lets you down.
It's a roller coaster ride. It sure is.
Right when you think you can trust Lamar Miller, right when the matchup says... This is it. They should be great. He should be great. He should get fed the rock, and he lets you down.
But that is fantasy football,
right? That is fantasy football, but Lamar Miller is just that guy, man. He's that headache. You'll love him 1 week, hate him the next week, but I hate him more often than not. My next one up here is Alex Collins. This guy just keeps finding a way to get in the end zone. Doesn't put up a lot of yardage, but 35 rushing yards. He had a touchdown as well. That's fine for a flex play. So for me to say, you know, put him on ice, if he didn't score, it would have worked, but he did. And he's more or less, you almost look at Alex Collins like a good tight end. That's kind of how he is. And he's a guy that you can play in flex, hope he scores, because he does get an opportunity to score quite a bit on that Ravens team.
So what had happened was, is I think we both thought that Saints rookie wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith in this matchup versus the Rams with a crappy secondary, that we knew it was going to be a shootout, was going to have a monster welcome to the NFL game. Now, Tre'Quan Smith's day is salvaged by one of his two catches being a touchdown, still gets you 10.2 points. So, depending on where you play Tre'Quan Smith, out of a slot, 10 points isn't bad. You know, you want to get double-digit points out of everybody. Now, was it worthy of saying he was going to be on fire? Probably not. So, what had happened was, Tre'Quan Smith, if you start him, he doesn't lose your week, but he sure as hell didn't win it either.
Like you just said, it's kind of hard. Do we put him in what had happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Do we put him in told you so? Because if a guy scores a touchdown when he's somebody that people aren't thinking about starting and we tell you to start him,
yep.
it's fine. I mean, that's just like Alex Collins' week.
Yep.
If he puts up 10 points in your flex spot, you're fine. If you get double digits from a roll-the-dice flex spot and you didn't have somebody on the bench that scored more,
yeah.
you should consider that a success.
With buys.
Not everybody's going to throw up 20, 25 yep. points. So I kind of had him in the told you so just because I felt like I had to come up with three because I didn't have a superb week. My last what had happened was Amari Cooper. I told you to ice him. He looked like he was going to have a monster game. They were targeting him early and often. He wound up scoring early, an early touchdown in this one. 5 catches, 58 yards, 1 touchdown. Again, totally fine. I mean, that's about 15 points or so in a PPR league. That's totally fine. And he looks like he will be very usable moving forward. But this Cowboys offense in general is just confusing to watch. And I don't know who to trust, when to trust, or how to trust them at all.
So my last what had happened was probably my biggest blown call of the week and maybe of the last several weeks. Tevin Coleman for the Atlanta Falcons, after a few defensive linemen kind of come up dinged up for the Washington Redskins, who came in as the second best rush defense in the NFL. Tevin Coleman goes off 13 rushes for 80 yards, 5 receptions for 68 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, 13 rushes for 80 yards is not a good game by any stretch of the imagination by a running back. Now, Tevin Coleman is used in the pass game a lot. All right, so he gets 5 for 68 and 2 touchdowns through the air. So the Washington Redskins still kind of did their job versus Tevin Coleman, the runner. Man, he just let loose on those cats through the air. And that was an amazing thing to see. With Devontae Freeman out, you'd think that, you know, it'd be maybe more Ito Smith relegated to the third down role and passing down because he catches the ball a little bit too. But that's been Tevin Coleman's role since he's been on the Falcons. That did not change on Sunday, and he goes off again for any owners that still start him.
The Falcons offense all around superb on Sunday. And, I mean, obviously for us here at 92.9 The Game, we love the Falcons going on a run. Maybe not Bo so much since he's a Saints fan, but it's fun because now they're relevant again. They get to 4-4. And, I mean, this offense is, outside of the three that Bo mentioned earlier, Rams, Saints, and Chiefs, I mean, the Falcons are right there with the Steelers as far as that next tier two, you know, 1B group.
As far as fantasy offense.
Where you're just firing these guys off. And if Coleman's going to give you games like this against a defense like that, that's something special. I mean, he's someone you got to fire off with confidence against the Browns. Don't expect him to have 150 total and 2 touchdowns again. But he's someone you got to start every week. And I was surprised by how well and how much the Falcons dominated on Sunday there in Washington.
Yeah, they look good. Not going to deny that.
All right, moving on to a told you so. Since I already had one gone sort of with Tre'Quan Smith, why don't you lead us off there, Bo?
Well, I told you so. Amari Cooper, man. 5 receptions for 58 yards and a touchdown off of 8 targets. That does equal to 16.8 points in a PPR. Now, you don't like the 5 receptions, 58 yards. He gets the touchdown. He had 8 targets, though, in his first game as a Dallas Cowboy. If you watch this game, the Dallas Cowboys offense looked like garbage. I don't know if it's Jason Garrett calling the plays or what. Amari Cooper starts out, gets a touchdown early. Was it first drive? Like, I hadn't even turned the game
on by then. It was 5-6 minutes into the game.
Yeah, so touchdown on the first drive. You know, doesn't do anything until the fourth quarter when he gets a few more receptions to kind of pad those numbers a little bit, kind of in junk time, although they could have won the game and come back in there. 8 targets in his first game as a Dallas Cowboy. You know that they're still going to try to force feed him the ball. That's what's going on here. They still weren't throwing the ball enough. The Dallas Cowboys weren't. It's Zeke, 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 Zeke. Okay, third and long, throw the ball. They kind of got to adjust their game plan to how the game is going, the game flow. And that's not something that the Cowboys have been good at. That's why they're not having such a great season, and they might be out of the playoff hunt or the NFC East hunt, even though that division's still kind of wide open.
Their upcoming schedule is brutal. They got the Eagles twice. They've got to come to Atlanta, actually, in a couple weeks there as well, who Atlanta looks like they're a better team than the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys, at best, are going 8-8 again, which is, I mean, Jason Garrett is the new Jeff Fisher as far as 8-8s go.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Mediocrity.
The weirdest thing about this Cowboys offense is how average this offensive line is. I mean, for the last couple of years, they've been that offensive line. That's the whole thing that they've hung their hat on. That's why Zeke has been so good. But they don't have any creativity in the play calling. They got an average offensive line. And across the board, outside of Ezekiel Elliott, they've really got average weapons. And It's just an average team.
But now I do think, now just two of the matchups that they have upcoming, and I'm not sure where they fall in the schedule. You might know this, but Eagles-Falcons don't look good to the Dallas Cowboys on paper for taking home wins, but they do look good for Amari Cooper as far as matchups versus subpar secondary. So keep Amari Cooper stashed away on your bench there. I'd be starting him almost, you know, every week. I think he's going to end up being a good player, maybe in a league winner for you.
No, that's a very good point. My next told you so, or my first told you so, I should say, Nick Chubb. Fire him off with confidence is what I told you. 85 yards and a touchdown, 22 carries. This is the type of line that the Browns want to see from him. Again, not the result that they wanted because they went against the Chiefs, who are just on fire and such a fun offense to watch. But this is what the Browns want to do with Chubb. I mean, this is why they got rid of Hyde. 20-plus carries. If they can get 80 to 100 yards and a touchdown, he's just a must-start player right now and someone you can fire up with confidence every week. I mean, there's... I'd have to look at the rest of their schedule, but I don't see any time that you would be sitting him. Obviously, if you have a better matchup with somebody else, but he's at a minimum RB2 flex play for you week in and week out from this point forward.
So, told you to ice Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay gets 17 rushes for only 60 yards, two receptions for 24 yards, kind of gets him into that double-digit territory. He gets 10.4 points for the Denver Broncos versus a very stout Houston Texans rush defense. Only still allowed two touchdowns on the season the Houston Texans have. Now, another time I told you so, I'm glad that you prefaced my Philip Lindsay ice pick with your Nick Chubb fire pick, because it was Nick Chubb versus Philip Lindsay a lot over the weekend when it comes to like people saying, should I start one or the other? And I went with Chubb every time. Mm-hmm. That is what came out when it came to fruition. So good call on us by Nick Chubb and Philip Lindsay. Houston Texans, man, I'd steer clear when you're starting a runner against these
guys. One personal little tidbit that made me so mad is I have, in a deeper league, I still got Royce Freeman rostered, and he didn't really practice all week. He was hurt. Schefter reported on, like, Friday he wasn't going to play. And a lot of people have that IR spot in their leagues, as I do in this league, and he didn't get the O next to his name for out until after the 1 o'clock games kicked off. So I had no one to actually pick up of any substance or value, but it's like, if you're not going to play, you're not faking out anybody, okay? You're not faking out the other team. They know he's not playing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason. I get it. Yeah. The coaches, it's all mind games and blah, 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 blah,
They
blah.
Think that it is.
I know, but
it's really not.
Put the O next to his name before the 1 o'clock starts so we can make some moves. My second and last told you so, Peyton Barber, told you to ice him. He only had 31 yards on 11 carries against the Carolina Panthers. He's someone I would probably look elsewhere. We'll actually hear about him coming up in fire and ice here in just a second. Did you have any more there, Bo?
Yeah, I got one more. Kerryon Johnson, which this was kind of an easy one going up against the Minnesota Vikings defense. Kerryon Johnson, 12 rushes for 37 yards, gets you 7.4 points. Hopefully you listen to us and ice Kerryon Johnson over the weekend. If not, then sorry, man, if you're not going to take the advice.
Look for him to bounce back this week, though, at Indy. We're going to take a quick break right here on the 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Brian Gephardt, Bo Johnson. We'll have our fire and ice picks on the other side of the break. It is that time of the show, fire and ice picks on the 92.9thegame.com fantasy football podcast. I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson. And this is the segment you want to listen to. I mean, you want to listen to all of it, but the beginning of the second part of these podcasts is when we drop serious knowledge on you. We've been pretty good.
Help you win your week right here.
I'm going to make it up. I feel like we've been 75% accurate on this throughout the year.
I think that's fairly accurate, even though it's a made-up stat. I think that's fairly accurate. We can go back and compile this information. We'll have our stats and our research department do that for us.
Exactly.
Before next
week. Let me check. Checking. Yep, 75 is correct. Okay. Bo, we want you to lead us off here.
So, on fire this week, Maurice Harris for the Washington Redskins. You might be saying, what? Who? Who the hell is Maurice Harris?
I had to do that before the show started, going to be
Maurice
honest.
Maurice Harris is a wide receiver for the Washington Redskins, plays out of the slot. Jameson Crowder has been out for four straight weeks. Now, there is rumors that he could come back this week. He's been nursing a sore, sprained ankle. Hard to come back from a sprained ankle at any point during the season. Maurice Harris last week had 10 receptions for 124 yards versus the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, he gets the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. So if Crowder plays, you might lean off of Maurice Harris. If you're a Crowder owner, hopefully you already have him. His ownership percentage is not very high, at least on ESPN League. So I guarantee he's still probably out here. You might hear his name again when we get to waiver wire pickups. Maurice Harris on fire this week versus the Tampa Bay Bucs.
No one else in the country, no other podcast is dropping Maurice Harris fire plays this week. I love it. I'm going to go with a little bit more of a conservative one. Nick Chubb, I'm going to roll with him again this week. I know the Falcons have shut down AP, but I think Chubb has similar numbers to what he had this past week, probably somewhere around 20 carries, that 80-yard mark, and a touchdown here from the former dog. I like him in this matchup. The Redskins offense is meh. It's just they didn't have a lot of options. The Browns offense is probably a little bit more dynamic, yeah. But hopefully the Browns stay close in this one so they are able to run the ball a little bit with Chubb, but I think you can fire him off with confidence.
I like that pick. The Washington Redskins lost three offensive linemen in that game versus the Falcons. Two of them ended up on IR. So Adrian Peterson's value is going to be derailed significantly because of this for the rest of the season. So you might look at those matchups. This isn't an ice play that I've got going on here with Adrian Peterson, but that is why he did falter in this last game. Washington Redskins offensive line just get blown up against the Falcons. My next is going to be your guy. I'm stealing one from you, and Aaron Jones for the Green Bay Packers. He's playing the Miami Dolphins. They're giving up 136 yards on the ground. Like, him and Williams could have good games in this matchup. His Aaron Jones carries the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, he had 12. Last week, he had 14. The Packers are still going to throw the ball a lot, but that is promising. It's on the way up. So if he gets 15, 16 carries, that now enters the territory into almost a must-start RB1. If he's going to get the production that he did and he has been these past few weeks in Aaron Jones.
And he's getting more snaps on third down. He is the guy, like we said, he is the most talented guy, not the best in pass protection, but I love that pick. You know I'm an Aaron Jones guy. I'm going to roll my second one here with Kenny Golladay. Everybody's going to be down on Golladay after the first game without Tate, but they went against this Minnesota Vikings defense, who we said earlier in the show is back in form. The Lions are going to be playing the Bears defense this week. Who knows if Khalil Mack will play? That's an interesting thing to keep an eye on just from a general football fan perspective rest of the season. But if he doesn't play, that limits the pass rush. I think that Kerryon Johnson will get shut down a little bit by the Bears. But Kenny Golladay, I like his matchup this week. And I think he's going to be a solid wide receiver 2-3 type for you and probably will score a touchdown.
At some point, Kenny Golladay's got to be able to take advantage of Golden Tate not being on the Detroit Lions anymore. And I think that he will do that starting this week. I like that call as well. My third player on fire this week, and I'm not talking about his off-the-field antics, is going to be Josh Gordon for the New England Patriots. And here's why. I'm going to draw some analytics on you because there's another Patriot receiver that I'm going to put on ice this week. The Tennessee Titans defend the left wide receiver position among the worst in the NFL, 29th, if I'm not mistaken. That's mostly due to the fact that Adoree Jackson plays over there, but Malcolm Butler has not played very well in that spot either. Josh Gordon, and he's playing 80% of the snaps for the New England Patriots offense right now, lines up on the left 60% of the time. He's coming off of a 5-catch, 130-yard game versus the Packers, who do defend the left wide receiver position pretty well. You got to love the amount of work and the amount of trust that Josh Gordon is building and establishing with Tom Brady and the New England Patriots play callers there. So I love Josh Gordon this week. He should look to have a great game versus whoever he's lined up against for the Tennessee Titans secondary.
Love that call. And I got to say, I made a mistake as we went to break. I was thinking that the Lions were going to be playing the Colts this week. That is not true because I said I'd like Kerryon Johnson to bounce back. I think he struggles again this week against the Chicago Bears. But who I was thinking about is Leonard Fournette, a name that we haven't talked about in a long time, who started to practice already this week. He is at the Indianapolis Colts. I like for him to come back in a big way. Listen, this guy, we know his talent. We know his injury background. He hasn't finished a game all season long. But I think he's somebody that you can go ahead and fire off with confidence this week. If the Jags are going to play him, they're at a point in the season where they need him. They need to feed him the ball. Carlos Hyde hasn't looked good. Yep. They don't trust T.J. Yeldon in this role. I expect Fournette to get 15 to 18 carries, which should get him to 80 to 100 yards and a touchdown. Yep. And I think you can go ahead and fire it off the big guy this week.
Yeah, I like that as well. The Jacksonville Jaguars have all but come out and said that we're looking at, week 9 after the bye to get, or week 10 after the bye, to get Leonard Fournette back in there. So I do like his chances of starting this week, but pay attention to that one. My first ice pick out of that same New England Patriots versus Tennessee Titans, and on the same side of the field, a Patriots wide receiver is going to be Julian Edelman. I do not like Julian Edelman this week, and for the simple fact that he is facing former Patriot Logan Ryan, who lines up in the slot for the Tennessee Titans, the same spot Julian Edelman has all of his success out of. Logan Ryan is the third best slot receiver in the NFL. Now, where does this information come from? It comes from bigger nerds than us who get paid full-time money to sit here and do research on this, and it has to do with the percentage of time they line up in a position, how many times the ball is thrown that way, and how many times those passes are successful. All right, so Logan Ryan, the best cornerback on the Tennessee Titans, the third best slot corner in the league, will be facing off versus Julian Edelman this week of the New England Patriots.
That's the kind of knowledge you get here on 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast. Bo says fire off Josh Gordon, but don't fire off Edelman, even though you'd think to fire off both, but I'm going to stick in that same game, and I'm going to say anyone, my first ice pick is anybody on the Titans, because people are going to overreact to what they saw last night on Monday Night Football, and the Cowboys made Mariota look like an MVP candidate. Deion Lewis scored a touchdown. Derrick Henry scored a touchdown. If you have to play one of those guys, sure. Obviously, Deion Lewis in a PPR league is the preferred option, but if you can avoid Titans this week, I don't love this matchup against New England.
So my next ice pick, let me give you a little stat line real fast there, BG. So 68 yards off of 13 carries, 6 receptions for 11 yards. How's that sound to you? Is that somebody you want to roll out and start on a week-to-week basis or any given week?
Yeah.
I mean, that gets you like double-digit points, I think, just because of the 6 receptions.
Okay, okay.
That's what the New Orleans Saints held Todd Gurley to this past Sunday. Let me give you that again, all right? 13 carries for 68 yards, that's 6.8 points. 6 receptions, that's 6 more points. That gets you up to like 13, if I'm asked correct. 11 yards, 1 more point. All right, this is the best run defense in the NFL. They now face the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon ain't Todd Gurley. You can look for a similar line versus the New Orleans Saints rush defense. I'm icing Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals this week.
Keep in mind, A.J. Green is hurt. He'll be out for a couple weeks, so the Saints will be able to load the box against what the Bengals will want to do, and that's establish the run with Joe Mixon. Like that pick, especially because Mixon's a guy that people fire off every week, but I would definitely like to look elsewhere there as well. I'm going to stick. I like to try to do teams and whole receiving cores sometimes. The Panthers wide receivers, this isn't rocket science either. You can't trust any of them week in and week out. Curtis Samuel had a big game.
Yeah.
He scored on a double reverse, and I think he had another receiving touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, this past week as well. But I don't trust any of them in particular on a short week at Pittsburgh. This is a huge game. Not a conference matchup, but these are two teams that are knocking on the door in their respective conferences. Panthers at Steelers, one of the better Thursday night games I can remember this season so far and in recent times. By the way, just in general, Fox has gotten some really good games compared to last year. They shelled out some money and they've been getting some
the
good
NFC
games.
As a whole has had, I mean, they have some of the highest scoring teams in the league. They have a lot of intrigue, you know, with teams like the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers hurt, not hurt, kind of made out of a bionic parts in his legs there, you know. So I agree 100%. My third ice pick is might just ruffle some feathers. Like, how could you bench any player off of this team? Hey, and I'm not saying you bench him. You know, if you've got better options, though, you might want to think about sitting Cooper Kupp this week of the Los Angeles Rams for the simple fact of they're going up against the Seattle Seahawks, who are in the 25-26 percentile as far as the best pass coverage teams in the NFL. Cooper Kupp plays out of the slot almost all the time. There is a slot corner for the Seattle Seahawks named Justin Coleman. When all those stats get compiled way up in Statville by these nerdy guys that get paid to do
such a
thing.
That's a real place, by the way, everybody.
By the time Statville sends all their information to us, they determine that Justin Coleman is the best slot cornerback in the NFL. Of all 32 teams, Justin Coleman is the guy faces Cooper Kupp this week. You know, the Rams don't have to force feed the ball to anybody. All right, so if they've got a bad matchup, if Justin Coleman's on Cooper Kupp with no separation, Jared Goff's looking elsewhere. That's all there is to it, period. He's even got Gurley coming out of the background. So to sit here and think that Cooper Kupp's going to go off every week, that's not going to be the fact. All right? So, look, if you've been riding Cooper Kupp all season, he didn't have a good game versus the Saints either. If you're riding Cooper Kupp all season and you don't want to take him out of your lineup, by all means, don't do so. This might be his worst game of the year, though.
You've been the Cooper Kupp guy most of the year.
I love Cooper
Kupp. And I always feel like I go against him, so I feel like I'm going to play him this week just because everything, you know, sometimes the logic, when it all adds up, you're just like, ah.
It crumbles. Exactly.
You know, a guy like Sean
I'm an analytics and stat guy, and I like what I see on paper. I'm going to go with it because you got to play the percentages.
And Sean McVay seems like one of those guys that's he's like, oh, yeah? Those are the slot numbers? Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, we're going to run this goofy-ass wheel route, and he's going to go down the line, and then all
he'll
of a sudden
get a couple carries on some
double reverse. He's throwing a touchdown to Cooks or something crazy.
No, that can happen.
Who knows? You never know. It's so hard to sit anybody on this Rams offense.
I agree.
That's a good call. If you do have a better option, those are very good numbers you brought to the table there. My final ice pick, I'm going to roll with one from last week again, Peyton Barber. I know Tevin Coleman went off against the Redskins this past week, but look for this Washington defense to bounce back. Their offense got really banged up. They lost a couple offensive linemen, but I think this defense galvanizes a little bit. I think the Fitzmagic situation is starting to wear out, even though he had a pretty good game this past week. And I like the Redskins to bounce back, at least against the run, and shut down Peyton Barber this week.
So we're going to move on now to waiver wire pickups. Is that your last ice pick?
Yeah, that's my last ice pick.
So on the waiver wire, some names that I'm going to throw out for you today are receivers that are in the back of depth charts and are going to be forced to the front of depth charts because of injuries. Now, one that you might have already heard of, but you haven't gone out and picked him up because he's only 21% owned in ESPN leagues, rather, is going to be Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS, for the Green Bay Packers. Last 4 weeks, he's had at least 13 fantasy points in PPR leagues. Geronimo Allison is officially going to have surgery. So you're looking at no Geronimo Allison, at least for the next 8 weeks, which is going to carry you beyond the fantasy playoffs. So Geronimo Allison out, MVS officially in. Now they still have Davante Adams, which is one of the best receivers in the fantasy football game. Still got Randall Cobb, still going to be there. MVS, though, has been productive the last month with Geronimo Allison on the sideline. That is going to continue. Only owned in 21% of leagues.
MVS to me is a must-own player. I think that's the number one. If you need a receiver, because I consider him the number two guy in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And he's also a big play guy. He's not necessarily, you know, an underneath type of guy. He'll catch maybe 3, 4, 5 balls, but he'll wind up with 100. I mean, I think this past week he had 3 or 4 catches for 103 yards or whatever it is. Rodgers is starting to trust him more and more. Another guy, deeper leagues, the same thing in that Green Bay receiving core, Equanimeous St. Brown, because Randall Cobb's not going to be on this team next year. Geronimo Allison might not play the rest of the season. Then all of a sudden you're starting to look at who's the third passing option because Jimmy Graham's obviously slowed down quite a bit. Equanimeous St. Brown could be that guy. They drafted a lot of wide receivers, a lot of rookie wide receivers that they're going to be part of this offense moving forward. So Valdez-Scantling is a must-own. Deeper league, St. Brown is a good guy to have as well. My number one guy, waiver wire-wise, coming off a bye week, people probably won't think about him too much. We were talking to Mike Conti from the Philadelphia area originally, for those who don't know. Josh Adams, he is a running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, and to me, he's kind of starting to slowly take over that Jay Ajayi role. I don't know how much he's going to. This Eagles team is always going to be a running back by committee. Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement will still be involved, but I think Adams is going to get a crack as we move forward to be the early down guy, first and second down, and goal line consideration. And I think everybody always needs a running back at this point in the season. He's someone that's probably out there in a ton of leagues. Go ahead and pick him up.
I like that call as well, although I hope they go more to the pass catching running backs, because I have Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement on one team, and I'm gonna have to start one of them whenever Todd Gurley goes on a bye in week 12. So hopefully I've already got some playoff spot wrapped up or something by then. On your waiver wire pickups this week, you do not own him because he's only owning 0.1% of all of ESPN leagues. Already spoke about him in the fire section of the podcast. Maurice Harris by the Washington Redskins. Pay attention to the Crowder injury one more time. He may play this week, but he's coming off of a ankle injury that's had him out the last 4 weeks. Maurice Harris owning 0.1% of all of ESPN leagues. Josh Doctson on the other side of the field, another wide receiver for the Washington Redskins, is only owning 17%. Keep both of those names in your brain in the event that Jameson Crowder does not play this week.
My last waiver wire pickup for the week is someone people probably forgot about. He scored a couple touchdowns early on. He scored a touchdown this past week. He's probably out there in a good amount of leagues, and that's Mike Williams, wide receiver for the San Diego Chargers. They are playing the lifeless Oakland Raiders this week, and he's someone I could see easily get into the end zone. And if you're in a situation where you have buys, you have injuries, whatever the situation might be, if you're desperate at wide receiver. I think Mike Williams is a good plug and play this week.
I like that one too. And I've got a couple names here for you that are for the deepest of leagues because of injuries and a great matchup on paper. So the Cincinnati Bengals, no A.J. Green because he's going to have surgery, it looks like. Keep an eye on that, though. So you're looking at no A.J. Green. John Ross was on the practice field yesterday. That does not mean he's going to play or be effective this week. Tyler Boyd will be in there. He will get volume with one or either of these receivers out. But up next, beyond John Ross on the Cincinnati Bengals depth chart, they are playing the New Orleans Saints. They're going to be playing from behind more than likely. They're going to be throwing the ball a ton. Cody Core and Josh Malone are the next two guys up on that Cincinnati Bengals depth chart at the wide receiver position. They have combined for a total of 4 receptions on the year. But Cody Core does have 3 of those. So if you're in a desperate situation where you have A.J. Green and there's nothing available, maybe in a deeper league, or he's out and you need to find somebody, a body to put into your lineup this week that could have a high ceiling, Cody Core, Josh Malone, the 2 Cincinnati wide receivers that fall into the number 4 and 5 spots on the depth chart at that position.
Bo, you're making people fire up the Google machine this week, man, and trying to figure out who the hell half these guys are, but I love it. This is the
research you
get.
These are guys that are out there, and they're on NFL teams, and they will get volume.
One other name, if he's still out there, Ito Smith, if you're still desperate at running back, just depth-wise, Tevin Coleman could get banged up. Ito Smith is a part of this offense, and if you got an extra roster spot and there's not a lot out in the waiver wire for you, Judge Ito would be a good pickup.
I like that.
That's going to wrap it up for this week on the Fantasy Football, 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast, that is. I'm Brian Gephardt, Bo Johnson, along with me. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.